it's not about the flesh. But, you know, I hate people doing half-hearted when it comes to Lord Jesus Christ. I can't stand that. Amen. It'll get on my last stinking nerve. Amen. Amen. Seriously. My wife will tell you that. Seriously. I am really kind of thankful we got some younger crowd in here, because kind of my heart is going in this message. Go to Ephesians chapter 5 here. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm want to honor the pastor. I want to keep it in my time frame. My wife is keeping time for me. Amen. So if y'all see me looking at her, it's not for approval. It is for to make sure she keeps me in check. Amen. She saw us waving that flag. If I don't see that flag, just let me know. And she might have to do this. Amen. I thank the Lord that, can you give me a minute? That right there is my niece. Just give me, can you do that for me? Reason why I say it is because we prayed 15 years for that young lady. I'm serious. 15 years we prayed for her. And when she got saved, she got saved. And she ain't stopped since. And I'm serious. And Brother Bridges moved all the way from Brother Tab's church, Florida, just to get a wife. Amen. I think that's a blessing. Amen. All right, if you will, take your Bibles and go to Ephesians. You're going to go two different places. One is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21. And then we also go to Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. But right now I'm going to read out of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now go to Colossians here. Just go to Colossians chapter 3 here. Colossians chapter 3 here. I'm going to get out of this, so I won't tangle this mic on me. Colossians chapter 3. And not because I'm about to let loose, just because I want to tangle that mic. Amen. Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, you're going to start with around verse 15. And it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to thee which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And then it says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as is fitting the Lord. Now, Heavenly Father, Lord, you truly know, Lord, that when I say these words, I'm not saying it for these people. But in my heart, Lord, you know I believe in my heart. I know I have no ability in mind to do what needs to be done here. Lord God, I beg of you, as I've always done, that you would fill me with the Holy Ghost of God. And he would use me, Lord, as only you can. And I give you my promise, as I've done so many times. If you do that, I will not touch your glory. I will give you all the honor, glory, and praise. I love you. I really do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to preach tonight, this morning, I'm sorry, on something that I'm not an authority on, but it is an obsession of mine. It is a desire of mine to be a spirit-filled Christian. I mean, we are up against such witchcraft. We're up against pornography. We're up against legalized drugs. We're up against the most wickedest cell phone addiction, social media addiction, amen. We're up against all kinds of garbage. People are shacking up, amen, fornicating, amen. And it's just so much wickedness. And without the Holy Ghost of God, without the power of God, without the touch of God, I'm not just talking about the preacher. I'm talking about every Christian in this room. God cannot use you in the way you need to be used. I'm talking about mothers and fathers filled with the Holy Ghost of God. I'm talking about young people filled with the Holy Ghost of God. We have gotten this day and age. I'm sorry to say that when you think about filling the Holy Spirit, it's always a preacher's responsibility. No, may I tell you this right now? If fathers and mothers, grandparents do not get a touch of God on them, they can get into a prayer closet, they can get into the Word of God to help their children, we are going to lose everything we've got. Except eternal security. Amen. I mean, we need to raise up a generation that is hungry for God. That really, honestly, not to just get a name for yourself, But for God to use you in a mighty way. Not to bring lights to, I'm serious. To get a hold of your children's heart. To see your children move to an altar without you having to force them all the time. To see your kids seek a holy God on their own. Brother Charlie was at my church. And he had said something. He said that we're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. You know, it's kind of weird because, think about it, the Holy Spirit's a person. He's not the force. It ain't no beam me up, Scotty, or Obi-Wan Kenobi. It ain't nothing you could conjure up and do a quick, and it's going to come down. The Holy Spirit is a living, breathing, eternal being. And it has its own desire and its own will. But I understand also that the Holy Spirit wants to fill a Christian.
Right.
And I understand also the moment you got saved, you got all the Holy Ghost you're going to get. But the question is, the Holy Ghost have you?
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to show you something that God kind of showed me that I believe in honesty amongst God's people. We kind of let this thing slip by us. And what it is over here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. It says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And if you go back to Ephesians chapter 5, don't go for the sake of time, you'll find this out, that list kind of coincides over in Ephesians chapter 5. But in the place of being filled with the Holy Spirit, it tells you to be filled with the word of Christ richly. That's what it tells you. Now, I understand this, and is this on YouTube? Oh, Lord have mercy. I understand I'm about to say, the kind of crowd I come when I saved at a charismatic church, but when I finally got a hold of the King James Bible, the kind of crowd that I hung around were kind of PBI people. Amen. I'm not going to lie to you. That's just the truth. Amen. Don't get mad at me. Amen. I can't help that. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the thing about this, you hear a story about Bible big heads. You hear a story about people that memorize whole chapters and write dividing and all this and that. But you also hear about them always falling. And the problem that I believe is in this verse right here. Because some of you, I guarantee you've been saved a long time. You say, I know somebody memorized whole chapter. He ain't in the will of God no more. God got a big head and all this and that. Because the problem, the answer is right here. It says in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now I'm going to show you something here. I got this thing just quickly written down. Understanding is the ability to, when God gives you the ability to comprehend. Knowledge is the attaining of the subject or the fact or the truth of the subject. But wisdom, some people get this thing wrong. According to what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 verse 24, it says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken to him a wise man who has built his house upon a rock. You know what real wisdom is? Wisdom is not the fact that I know that I need to change the oil in my car. The wisdom is when I actually do change the oil in my car. You know what the big problem is that them old timers had that we have. Now, let me tell you something. We understand this is the word of God. We wave it. We got it. We're proud of it. Amen. We're this Bible believing King James only. Blah, 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 blah. But them old timers that didn't have a whole lot of good doctrine, and we got all the revelation now, them old timers that had a lot of stuff wrong, the one thing that they did do that I don't see a whole lot of, when the word of God spoke to them, they did something with it. Dr. Estep said that Bible Institute, he used to tell us that every doctrine that you learn should have some type of practical effect to your life. In other words, if you're a premillennial, that doctrine that you learn should affect you some type of way. We, on the other hand, have all this knowledge, but it ain't changing diddly squat in a lot of God's people. Amen. It is not changing us, and a Bible that does not change you is a Bible that's useless. I did not say the Bible is useless. I just say it's useless to the person that it can never change. It just is. Honestly, them old timers, they didn't know a whole lot. We got all this deep doctrine stuff. But you know something? How much of it really does change you? Honestly, how many of it really has an effect where it changed the way you think, where it changed the decision that you was about to make? Where God is your home.
Right.
Now, by the way, I need to point this out. I didn't say another man's conviction. That's what kills a lot of people. Somebody preaches something, it's their conviction.
Right.
You jump on that conviction. Yeah. I'm going to give you a news lesson. Unless it's out and out, sin, the Holy Spirit will not help you with nothing. It does not want you to do personally. In other words, the God said this is how he wants you to do it. The God has a biblical obligation to help you complete that task God gave you. If God says, I want you to get rid of this, I want you to take care of that, I want you to break fellowship with that, then God has a spiritual obligation that God has spoke to you from the pulpit or spoke to you in his word, spiritually will come in and help you accomplish what God told you to accomplish.
Amen.
If God says break fellowship, God will give you the courage to break fellowship. If God says get rid of this out of your home, if God said it, then God will give you the courage and the strength and the ability to keep it out if you want to do that. If you really want to obey what God told you to do. The problem is sometimes, and like I said, if it's out now sin, come on, give me a break. If the man of God said put some clothes on, put some stinking clothes on, amen. I mean, see, if the man of God says don't do this in church, just don't do it, amen. But I'm just talking about something personal in your own personal life, something personal in your home, amen. You got to learn that that Holy Ghost of God is there to give you an equipment to help you with anything it wants you to do through the Word of God. And the problem is, amen, we got a Bible that ain't changing us. We got a Bible that's not affecting us. I want to give you a list on why the Word of God spiritually is essential to the being filled with the Holy Spirit. I say the first thing about this Word of God is that do you not realize that you were born again by it? And it's called a seed, by the way. You didn't think about something. It's called, being born again, not a corruptible seed. But incorruptible. By the word of God was living in by forever. Now point out that seed. If a seed can give you a new nature, if the seed of the word of God called the gospel can give you a new desire and can change your thought, what could the whole word of God do? Seriously. If the seed at the simple death, burial, and resurrection of a holy God. And the fact that one day somebody told you that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, rose again the third day, for the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, Jesus Christ our Lord. But God committed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and you trusted that thing, and believed that thing, and it changed your life. What can the whole word of God do? What can the whole word of God do in your life? I just say, first of all, it's the initial seed that brings a new birth. Second of all, it is the means of requirement to induce growth out of baby Christian. The Bible says, as newborn babes, the desire to sincere mingle the word that you may grow by. If so, if you do it, have tasted the Lord's gracious. In other words, there is after you new birth, without the word of God, there is no growth. Where that word of God comes from, the church that you're going to, or comes from personal Bible reading, a Christian needs to be around and intake, eat, I don't know, drink, sip, suck, I don't know, the word of God. And without that, God said, I didn't say it, you will not see growth in a Christian. It was a young man, we've been praying for him for a whole year, just a whole year. And finally, I'm sorry, but I tried to say the devil, right before we came, the devil just just went through our house. And I had to deal with some stuff and everything. And all of a sudden, in the middle of all the devil working and the praying and the stuff that we had to deal with, we get a knock on the door. And somebody says, so-and-so's out there. And we've been praying for this man for a whole year. And I mean, I thought he might have come to fight or something. I don't know why he came here. And I went out there with him, and we sat on the back of my truck there. And he began to talk to me. And finally, I said, the problem is, you just need to get saved.
Amen.
He said, yes, I do.
Amen.
And that man knelt down right there after a whole year of praying. He drove all the way, I'm serious, from Germantown, all 45-minute drive, to West Memphis, Arkansas, to kneel down and ask God to save him on my front lawn. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about, but you know what he did? For certain reasons, I said, well, you need to come in and tell your wife. It's a long story and a half. But now his wife and his sister-in-law are living in my house. And he didn't want to come in. But what he did, was the next day, he said, look, I ain't ready to come in. He said, but would you have Bible study with me? Amen. I said, well, I'm out of town. But then the Holy Spirit of God said, dude, you got plenty of time. So I called him back. I said, look, I'll tell you, we'll have Bible study every day over the phone. So in between church, I got to go home and have Bible study with him for a couple of minutes every day. Why? He needs that new word.
That's right. Yeah.
He needs that new word. I'm telling you something right now, young people, know what your biggest problem is? I'm going to preach to young people right now. That book ain't really as real to you as you think it is. And some of you adults in here know what your problem is. That book ain't as real to you as you think it is. I'm sorry, I hate to tell you this, but if you skip your Bible reading because you just too tired or you too busy, I hate to be practical, but I'm going to be practical. If you skip that thing, amen, I'm telling you this right now, you don't think it's important enough. And that's really what the real problem is. You go to work every day. You know why you go to work every day? Because you like money. I like money, amen, hallelujah, amen, seriously. But you know something, if you don't treat that book, Job said his words more than his necessary food. That's what Job said. Jesus Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of my mouth. God, I'm not telling you nothing new.
Amen.
This ain't deep. Seriously, I wasn't even going to preach it, amen. Brother Coley preached it. I said, well, what I got to preach it for? I'm just telling you right now, there is no initial growth without the word of God. I had to say this right now. There's no initial Christian maturity without the word of God. And he go to Hebrews chapter 5 real fast here. Hebrews chapter 5. There is no initial Christian maturity without the word of God. I'll go to Hebrews chapter 5 here. Amen. I turn to Hebrews chapter 5 here. And in Hebrews chapter 5 here. And then look at verse 12. It says, for when the time you ought to be teachers, ye have neither one teach you again, or be the first principles, oracles of God. Why? Because I didn't go to Bible school. No, it didn't say that. And I'll become such as have need of milk. Now, I'm going to point something out. He said, you ought to be teachers. Ye have neither one teach you again. Then there's such as you have need of milk. Why? Look at in the milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that went to Bible school. No, didn't say that. Right. Then get enough commentaries. Nope, didn't say that. Man. The strong meat both him that are full of age, even those. Why are they full of age? Who? By reason of use.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this right now. You know what that verse is saying? And like Brother Coates, I'm up here now, so if you don't agree with it, you know, I ain't trying to be offensive. If you don't use it, you go back to being a baby.
Yeah.
You know why church is full of a lot of babies?
Right.
You sit there and let that man preach at you. You sit there and let that man preach at you. Some of you sit there and let that man preach at you, but you don't do nothing with it.
Amen.
Or you will praise God for it. Or you will just praise the Lord, and you will just say amen, and some of you don't even do that much. And you'll go get off the altar. Some of you may even go to the altar. Amen, praise the Lord. But you know something, going to the altar is good, and you ought to go to the altar. But let me explain something to you until it gets to a time where you take that thing and go home and apply that thing to your own personal life. You will become a spiritual baby retard. I ain't trying to be offensive. That's what that Bible said. You will become spiritually retarded. So we see there is no new birth without the word of God. There is no initial growth of a baby without the word of God. There is never no maturity without the word of God. I had to say this. There is no practical sanctification without the word of God. Over in Psalms 119, I think it's verse 9 or 11. I'm trying to remember which one it is. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed according to thy word. And then the other verse, see, I can't keep him. He said, David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I understand the day you got saved, you got sanctified. I understand you got put in the body of Christ. But over there in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1, it says, through desire, a man having separated himself, seeketh and in a manner with all wisdom. I understand it's got to come a time, amen, that word begins to change you. That word begins to take stuff out of your life. That word begins to affect you. That word begins to say, don't look at that. Don't drink this. Don't do that. Stop saying that.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, there is no spiritual practical sanctification without the word of God.
Right.
And until you get to a place where that book becomes something that'll change you. And let me tell you something. You can dress all day long because your mama tells you to.
Yeah.
I've been in some meetings. I ain't trying to be offensive. But young Christian people know how to slip a little flesh in and make it look conservative.
Yeah.
Because they want to show a little something. And because you grew up in church, everybody overlooks it. because you just so saved and sanctified. But the reason why some of them young girls dress like that is because there's something inside their flesh just want to show a little something. I ain't trying to be offensive. I'm just being honest. You cover enough so your mom and daddy will be happy. You cover enough so the preacher can be happy. And this gets on YouTube. I'm talking to you too. But you will sneak a little something in just to show a little flesh because that's what you want to do. Well, no, I'm just playing. Anyway, I'm just telling you, there is no spiritual, practical sanctification without letting that word of God. I remember I had that battle in my church. And look, if a lost person or baby Christian, they're sitting right there, you dress any way you want to dress. Don't you got some clothes on? I'm not preaching that stuff, but dear God, it didn't even save a long while. And that Bible don't kind of make you want to cover up some things. Hey, man, I'm talking to men, too. Seriously. Nobody wants to see your pecs. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's no spiritual sanctification without the word of God. There isn't. Amen. I'm serious. There's no spiritual sanctification without the word of God. I'm kind of, okay. Thank you, Lord, because I certainly lost my way. There is no spiritual, I'll tell you something, I really did. I was looking at these like, where was I at? Amen. There is no spiritual revival without the word of God. Over there in John chapter 6, verse 63, he says the spirit that quickeneth, that word quickeneth, as we already know, means alive. He says the spirit that quickeneth the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, oh, I got 10 minutes. I got to wind it down. The words that I speak unto you, they're spirit and they're life. I want to show you something. You know, honestly, go to Isaiah chapter 60. He said, how much time do I got, baby? Let me know. Hey, man, I'm winding down. How much time do I got? Lord have mercy. Hey, oh, okay. What did you say? Never mind. Just yell at me, amen, when time for me to stop, amen. I'm just going to go to Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57. And then I'll go to Isaiah chapter 66. You know why a lot of people, why we don't have revival? I'm going to tell you something, seriously. If you want revival, amen. Everybody in here, God has promised you revival. That if you don't have revival in your heart because you don't want it. Now, I ain't going to lie to you. There are times I need meetings. My wife and my kids are sitting right there. I don't get what I'm about to say because I'm not a spiritual man. But I don't need a camp meeting to get me stirred up. I really don't. Sometimes I get down and I need a meeting. I need to go to that men's meeting. I've been working 12, 14 hours a day, get up at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning trying to pray, read my Bible. I'm trying to manage a lawn service, work a full-time job, trying to finish two different Bible institutes and trying to manage a church. It caught up with me. And I wore down. You get up 2 o'clock every morning, pray for an hour more. They see how it works out for you and work 14, 12 hours a day. And try to manage a lawn service, and then work a job where you hauling chemicals that can blow stuff up. You do it. If you think you spirit, you can have it. I'll trade with you, amen. But Isaiah chapter 57 verse 15, it says, "Thus said High and Lord, one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy." I love that part. "I dwell in a high and holy place, with him is also of a contrite heart and humble spirit, to revive." The spirit of the humble and the heart of the contrite ones. That's one of my favorite verses. I could have quoted it because that is one of my favorite verses. And you know what God says? He says, if you the word contrite means repentative, then there's a humbleness. And I'll show you something else. Go to Isaiah chapter 66 here. You can have revival. Look at Isaiah chapter 66. Look at verse 1. Thus said the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build me? Where is the place of my rest? For all those things have my hand made, and all those things which have been, saith the Lord. But at this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit that trembleth at my word. The word contrite literally just means repentative. You know, and in my church, you can come on altar in the middle of a message. It don't matter. There's been time whole church has shut my whole message down. Why everybody came on altar when I'm going to keep preaching? I had like five or sub points. three outlines in the back up. And everybody's coming to the altar and they praying. The Holy Spirit, you need to shut up, dude. You're ruining everything. And they right there, they'll tell you. There are times they'll just walk on down there, just come and look and like, why do I shut up? Let God do it. But you know why a lot of people honestly can't get revival? Because you won't repent. Let me explain something to you. If you get under conviction and go away the whole day without bowing your head somewhere and getting it right, I promise you that Holy Spirit ain't going to meet you like it would if you got it right then and there. If you sit up here, hear all this preaching and won't come to an altar when God speaks to your heart, especially some of you young people, because you don't want to care about what somebody else thinks, I promise you the Holy Spirit ain't going to meet you in that pew like it would if you humble yourself. You know what's wrong with a lot of people? They ain't going to humble themselves.
Right.
They won't humble themselves.
Right.
The Bible says God resists the proud but giveth grace to the humble. So I want revival. Well, I'll show you. You won't get it. You know, over there in John chapter 6, verse 63, he said those things. Now, I got 2 points, and I'm wrapping this up. I'm going to tell you something, preachers. You will beat you. Now, I believe that you need to be spirit-filled. But we will beat your head against the wall because you think I ain't got the power of God like I should to move that crowd. I sometimes wonder, brother, just what Bible do they read? You say, what do you mean by that? The greatest God that man has said in the flesh, people walked away from him. John the Baptist was filled for the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And a stinking adulterous whore and a stripping daughter got him killed. And the King Herod wouldn't listen to a word he said. Jeremiah was touched of God as a little child, and they kept locking him up in prison. I understand about the revivals of yesteryear. But you know something, sometimes you get so caught up in that, you don't realize that if a person wants to resist Holy Ghost conviction, they can resist it. And over there in John chapter 6, verse 63, he tells them, no man can come and except my Father draw them. Then they get mad. Amen. And they walk away. But you know, he asks Peter, by the way, when they walk away, it's John chapter 6, verse 66. 6, 6, 6. He asks Peter, will you also go away? You know, Peter said, Lord, where will we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Now I'm going to show you the last point, then I'm done. Because I'm going to go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Then I'm done here. Get out the way. And in John chapter 1, I'm going to show you this right here. You know the last reason why you can't really have revival, I mean, I can't really be filled without the word of God is because this is the only physical manifestation of God on this earth. I didn't say he was God. I said this is the only physical manifestation of God on this earth. Look at John. I'm going to show you. Look at John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. You all know the verse. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him. And without him was anything made that was made. And in him was life. And the life was light of men. And light shineth in darkness. And darkness comprehended not. Now, in verse 6, it switches over to John. And 6 is the number of man. But verses 1 through 5 is about Jesus Christ, right? Does everybody agree with that? The word became flesh, dwelt among us. Now, I challenge you to do something. Count the words in verses 1 through 5. You know what you're going to get? 66 words. Seriously, count them. Count the words 1 through 5 where it ends in Jesus Christ and end of verse 5, and you will count 66 words. Because that is the only physical manifestation of God on this earth. It is not God. I understand that. It is a book. You can burn it. You can put it on the floor. Actually, I got a brown and blue spider somewhere hidden in it. This morning, I was praying this morning, and something told me to kind of just get up and start praying. And I got up and found out there was a scorpion crawling across our floor. And then my other son jumped, and it was a brown recluse in my Bible. Now, that brown recluse can't touch God, but can touch that Bible. But I'm telling you something right now. That's the only physical manifestation of God you got on this earth. We talk about stoking the fire, and I'm done. In Luke chapter 16, There's a rich man. In Luke chapter 16, there's a rich man. And he looks over there, he's in hell, he's burning. I'm talking about that's being on fire. And he looks over there in hell, he's burning, and there's a great gulf fixed. Now, you ain't got to believe this. I believe that great gulf, you can go straight down to the bottomless pit. I believe Abraham's bosom is down there with hell, separated by a great gulf fixed in between the bottomless pit. I believe that. Okay, you ain't got to believe that. That's fine. Okay, just let me believe that. He believes. I hope he does. If you don't, I'm just making a mistake right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. But anyway, in that great gulf fixed, he says these words. He says that we cannot go over to you, and you can't come over to us. So he begs Abraham to send Lazarus. To send Lazarus. He still got five brothers. Lest they come be tormented in this flame. And he says, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And then he says, Nate, Father Abraham. He said, if one rose from the grave, you'll hear him. He said, they believe not Moses and the prophets. Neither they believe though one rose from the grave. And I'm afraid, no matter how much fire you got, if the people in those pews don't start believing God's word, they ain't gonna do them no good. It ain't gonna do them no good. Everybody in this room, you have a personal obligation to get a hold of that book and believe what that book says. You have a personal obligation. Well, I'll fall asleep when I read it. Dude, I'll fall asleep when I read it. I've been saved for over 26 years, been serving the Lord for a total of 24 years, preaching for 19 years, and pastor for 16 years. And know what I found out? I don't know nothing at all. And I still sometimes have trouble sometimes reading my Bible. Seriously. I still struggle with this flesh. But then there's times where it speaks to me in such a way. When God comes in that room, in my prayer closet, in the Word of God, and God begins to guide me and speak to me in such a way, I'm telling you something. That book can turn a prostitute into a virtuous woman. It can make a woman beater into a gentleman. It can turn your kids, if they get a hold of it, into godly people. But until you get to a place, parent, preacher, and church member, where it becomes so real to you that it can change your decisions, change the way you think, even change the way you feel, it cannot fail you. Till you have the power of God on high. And I'm telling you, if he ever get it on you, you will hunger for it like a drug. Yep. You will want it so badly you can taste it. It will move you and burn in your heart like Jeremiah said that word was in my bosom like a fire. And I couldn't forbear, I could not stay. Mm-hmm. It will move you in a way that you don't understand. You will pray in a way that you can't even understand. It doesn't happen always like that. But when it does, you know when it's there. And you know when you ain't got it no more. I'd rather have God on me than have the biggest church in the world. And if I could spend the rest of my life on fire and give my last breath for him, it'll make my life worthwhile. Because you don't know what I was. You don't even know what I am. But there's a God in heaven that saved my soul. Took a broken man, called him to preach. Preached all over this country with a dear, sweet wife. Gave me kids and touched their hearts. Gave me good friends that I just depend on. But there's times when I'm just being him and Brother Justice. Oh, it's like a dream. I don't mean about emotionalism. I mean when you just know the presence of God's there. Whether it's your prayer closet, whether you're preaching, whether you're witnessing, just whether you're reading your Bible. I'm telling you, folks, you young men, you young girls, if you can get God on you, you'll never know what God can do until you let God use you. You'll never know what you can do until you let God work through you. I'm done.